It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are off and running on this 16th day of May, 2022. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That, of course, is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And, well, if you do pop in hereabouts, you will be, well, I'm waiting to see who the early arrivers are, frankly, because I'm not entirely sure that this is up to date, shall we say. Lord, the internet is slow today. I don't know why.
Working.
Noisy in the studio today, as well, too, also. I like Fibber McGee's closet in here. Yes, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky and Stockton Larry. And, I'm your moderator for the moment, and that's just fine. And there goes the drum loop, and it's not unbearable in the studio, thank God for that. It cooled off a little bit today. It was 93 degrees in here the other day. I got to get this air conditioning issue sorted out. I just really do, because by the time, let's see. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. That means we send out thanks to our 16th, 15th, and 14th day of the month subscribers via PayPal. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to Timothy. Thank you to Reinhardt on the Virginia coast. Thank you to Mark. And thank you to Robert, thank you so much. To Nagla, thank you. Thank you to Ralphs, and thank you to Matt in San Francisco. Thank you to Gary and Gaia. And thanks to Max for jumping in and taking us down by another $100. So that meant that, the fundraising goal overall, as of right now, is it needs more. The fundraising goal overall right now is $1,150, which is not nearly as bad as the nearly $2,000 we got up to last week. Hopefully we will not do that again. And now, I'll be quite candid. Getting to where, and you know, I tuned into Brother John Bridvo's program last night, and I heard a similar weariness in his voice. And it's a weariness. Buffalo. The NRA's roulette wheel of death, which they consider to be a roulette wheel of freedom, stopped in Buffalo this weekend. And by God, there's no questions about this one. Kind of no way around it, you know? And it leaves the only questions it leaves is well, there's always why, but a big part of why has been answered in this case, but only partially. I'm really having trouble processing this. Because it's Jesus, I'm sorry. Why is Tucker Carlson still on the air? It becomes abundantly clear that this monster is a stochastic terrorist and damned well knows it. I mean, is it just me? Or do we, is it more than me? Do we, us, finally begin to understand? And maybe I'm asked, maybe I'm asking the question the wrong way. Because I don't think it's a problem with comprehending or understanding on the part of the Horn Family Community Congregation. We get it. We know what stochastic terrorism is. We know how it works. And the fact that somehow or another this is viewed as the price that we pay for freedom, that's simply maddening. And of course, there's a history. Lord, how many nights did Bill O'Reilly go on air talking about Tiller the Killer? Over and over and over and over again. Tiller the Killer, Tiller the Killer, Tiller the Killer. Until Dr. Tiller was assassinated by someone who was pro-life. And here we are now with a different, more stochastic terrorism, just a different group being, I hate the word targeted. So many thoughts have run through my head. You know, I have on no few occasions openly mocked the almost exclusively white dude bros who can't go to Walmart for a jug of milk and a loaf of bread without
packing heat and strapping on a hog leg, because you never know when the shootout at the OK Corral is going to break out at, in Action Alley. At least that's what they used to call the main drag through Wally World. And I'm sure somewhere in amongst the goddamn giggles, the two-legged monsters at the National Rifle Association are saying, you know, if everybody done had a gun, might not have happened this way. No, if everybody had a gun, might be 100 people dead. If there were 100 people there. And I hate the term trigger, because a trigger is part of a gun. And it's just been trigger all over the place. And maybe, you know, I encourage conversation on this topic this evening. It's not like I want for anything to say, but goddamn if I'm not just sick and frustrated at all of this. I mean, what has to happen before the Republicans and Joe Manchin in the Senate will allow the federal government to do something to at least reduce the number of these godforsaken monstrosities? And apparently it ain't just me. I mean, they sent Victor Blackwell from CNN to cover Buffalo. And he is no slouch. He's no shrinking violet. But he wasn't okay. I don't know how anybody can be okay and report on this.
And First Lady Jill Biden will be with the victims' families tomorrow at a ceremony today for public safety officers. President paid tribute to the families.
No one understands more than all of you here today the pain and anguish those families in Buffalo feel. But if they were pulled into when it happens, at least my experience, you feel like you're pulled into a black hole inside your chest and everything, you can't, and it's hard.
With me now is a woman who survived this horrific mass shooting, Fragrance Harris Stanfield. You were inside the market.
Yes.
Your daughter was there, 20-year-old daughter. You stopped to get some ice cream, I read.
Absolutely not.
And, no? What happened? You worked there. I'm sorry.
No,
Tell me what happened.
My daughter and I are both customer service leads at Tops.
Okay.
And we were working. She was at Easy Scan. I was at Register 6. I had just checked out a customer. I bent down to get something off the floor, and suddenly my stress point became very, 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 very sensitive. I almost couldn't even touch my neck to understand what was going wrong. I turned around to tell my daughter, who was standing next to me. Before I could say anything, we heard shots. Dun, 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 dun. And we're just, everybody stopped in the front end. You know, we live in a community where we hear gunshots, so you're not sure if it's going to involve you. So we just stopped moving, which is what we do, to see where it's coming from. When we saw the security guard backing up to engage with his weapon, he was still alive at that point. When we saw him, that alerted us to start running. I grabbed for my daughter's arm and began running. I never looked back. I ran down to the end of the lanes, And Morris, another CSL, said, to the back. So I turned, made a sharp turn to turn to the back. A lady in front of me dropped her keys. Her daughter was in front of her. She knocked me to the side. I stumbled, but stayed on my feet, ran a little bit further. Then her daughter, getting momentum, just, you know, shoved, not intentionally, but shoved me to the ground. I laid there. I thought I was going to perish right there. And somehow I got up, thrust everything off of me, including my shoes, and just ran and kept running until I got all the way through the two sets of doors to the back door where we had to wait. Morris was trying to open the back door, and he was successfully able to open that door. And we ran out and ran down the street.
Did you ever see the shooter?
I never saw the shooter.
And I read it was just chaos in the store. Obviously, hearing the shots, people running.
You could hear that the shots were coming closer because he wasn't inside when I was still in the front end. I didn't realize my dog.
You know, there's something poignant about the pouring rain in the background. They seem more tears than raindrops.
Daughter wasn't with me until I got to the back and finally looked behind me, and she wasn't there. I knew she was still in the store, didn't know where. I could feel she was in there, so something's telling me she's alive, but I'm not sure. I knew if I went back, either I could, you know, she would be found if she's hiding because I'm looking for her, or I would perish and she would see me be killed.
In that moment where you know there's a shooter, you're separated from your daughter. What are you feeling and thinking about her safety, where she is?
I'm praying she's safe. I've taught her how to make yourself small and invisible and be safe. And thank God she remembered, and that's what she did. She made the decision that she didn't think she could run fast enough because she was in panic mode. And so she shrank and got small and hid. And I praise God
Jesus.
That he had his hand covering her because the gunman walked past her twice. She witnessed two people get shot, one who survived, one who did not. And she heard all the rest of the gunshots that occurred.
I understand that if you and your daughter are going through counseling.
I was just there a moment ago.
This may seem like a question with an obvious answer, but you need counseling to get past the sounds of this building. Do you know if you'll ever be able to go back in and work there?
I'm definitely going back in the building.
Yes.
I don't know how I'm going to feel once I do that, so I can't say what will happen next. But I feel like I have to go back in the building, much like I've been here. I can't seem to leave here. You know, yes. I just feel like I need to be here for me, for my coworkers, for my family. The healing process, this is just the way that I'm healing right now. But I will go back because I don't want him to have that type of victory. Whatever evil came upon him to make him want to do this, he's not going to win with this community. And this is our store. This is our community, and we will control that.
Right. Fragrance, thank you so much for sharing your story with me for a few minutes. Thank you. Allison, back to you.
Yeah. Victor, it is so hard to hear the raw grief of all of these family members and employees just trying to make sense of how their lives have been ruined in just the space of a few minutes by a horrible, hateful person. To hear Fragrance just tell you that she's had to teach her children to become small and invisible in this country because you just never know when you're going to be the victim of a mass shooting. And just the raw grief that the other families are dealing with. It's all so overwhelming. And I mean, as they've said so eloquently, it just feels so hopeless at times.
Listen, I was counting in the car talking with my producer. I've done 15 of these, at least the ones I could count. And we keep having the conversation about Democrats will say guns, Republicans will say mental health, and nothing will change. And I'll probably do another one this year. Family after family, having nowhere to go with their grief. We'll get into a political conversation later, but is this the way we're supposed to live? Are we destined to just keep doing this city after city? Have we just resigned that this is what we are going to be? I'm going to give it back to you.
That poor man.
Yeah.
That poor man. Those poor families. This poor country. I mean, and I get it. I'm trying to think, I mean, how many times have we done this story? In how many cities? It was even worse, Lady B reminds us. O'Reilly would say, Tiller the baby killer. As far as the mass shootings this weekend, what the fuck else is new? One side wants unlimited gun access and a way to release their anger at the world. The rest of us are just obligated to watch, I guess. My twin and I pondered the meaning of the end times. Right-wing extremists have prayed for this day. Christ's return isn't happening fast enough, so they decided to take matters into their own hands. Evil is banal and stupid. The Antichrist doesn't have to be a handsome, brilliant man with a British accent. He could be Trump. He probably is Tucker Carlson. We can win this, Lady B says. We've dealt with dictators and authoritarians before, but we liberals have got to wrest back control. We need to save ourselves from the extremists and save the extremists from themselves. Our lives depend on it. Yes, Lady B. And I think we are at a place now where black lives depend on it even more than anybody else. And the one place where I took issue with Victor Blackwell is when he said, you know, the Democrats will say guns and the Republicans will say mental health. No, the Republicans will say guns too. More guns, more and more guns. Guns, 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 and guns, and guns, and guns, and guns. Long guns, short guns, skinny guns, heavy guns, lightweight, compact pocket guns. God. Nothing's going to happen, y'all. By the way, say their names. Celestine Cheney, 65. Andre McNeil, 53. Margus D. Morrison, 52. 32-year-old Roberta A. Drury, who was not even from Buffalo. She was visiting from Syracuse because a member of her family had had a bone marrow transplant, and she was there to help give aftercare, and she had gone to the grocery store because she was going to make everybody a special dinner. Catherine Massey, 72, Geraldine Talley, 62, Aaron Salter, 55, Haywood Patterson, 67, Pearl Young, 77, and Ruth Whitfield, 86. Goddamn, 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 goddamn. Does it, do you reckon... You reckon it would change if we just started acknowledging what people like the little 18-year-old shitbird said and that they really are at war? The people with guns are at war with the people without. Not one of the people whose names I just read had anything even resembling a chance. Because no one being ambushed has a chance. The woman Victor Blackwell interviewed had taught her daughter how to avoid being murdered in America. You know, randomly murdered. They teach her how not to be murdered at school. Mama has to teach her how not to be murdered in the grocery store. Because freedom, y'all! Freedom! Because Tucker Carlson's freedom to vomit every night of his life about the great replacement theory, which is just repackaged goddamn Klansman garbage, white supremacist garbage, Nazi garbage. Well, his freedom to say that is more important than the freedom of an 86-year-old black woman to die in her sleep instead of bleeding out on a grocery store floor. And I'm proud to live in America, where at least I know I'm free. And I can lay on the floor of a grocery store till the life bleeds out of me. Cause a white boy'll go bang with his gun and set some freedom loose for you and me. 18 years old. I mean, there are, I started off saying it's the same old questions, but I mean, there are questions that beg an answer. Do we finally realize that they've gone to war with us? I mean, there was Dylann Roof, and now there's this turd, this monster. Well, at least Robert Donald of Vintage Firearms in Endicott, New York, said he feels terrible about selling the weapon to Peyton Gendron. I knew nothing about it until I got the call from them. I couldn't believe it. A background check didn't turn up any red flags. He didn't stand out, because if he did, I would have never sold him the gun. You liar! As long as the National Center comes back and says, eh, whatever. If he was wearing Mickey Mouse ears and stripper heels and whistling the theme from Howdy Fucking Doody, you'd have still sold him the gun because Merca and because freedom. But, yeah, he... Robert Donald feels terrible. He went on and told the New York Times, I don't understand why an 18-year-old would even do this. I know I didn't do anything wrong, but I feel terrible about it. And, of course, he was an enterprising young fella. Well, he still is, because he's still alive, because somehow or another, after he murdered 10 people, the cops didn't come along and murder him. Reckon did they take him to Burger King? He had modified his firearm. The gun store owner said, even with all those safety features on it, which is the only way I sell it, any gun can be easily modified if you really want to do it. Well, thanks for the help. But how? What happens to an 18-year-old to turn him into a white supremacist, racist, homicidal, maniac monster? I mean, geez, I want to make sure. I want to be careful here. I don't want to offend any sensibilities of the poor little delicate snowflake wingnuts who lurk in the corners of this program. By mentioning the fact that he left a racist manifesto, is it critical race theory to talk about the fact that he deliberately targeted a grocery store that was primarily used by black people? Is that critical race theory? Because, gosh, the delicate snowflake maggots are so upset about critical race theory. And, you know, I wonder how that dickhead who pushed this out into the, from the, what is it, the Manhattan Project or whatever it's called, wonder how he feels about his son. Well, yeah. Of course, Matt, it just gates worse, is a known proponent of the great replacement theory. And he said, well, yeah, I did promote it because I agreed with a tweet that Tucker Carlson sent out. I've never spoken of replacement theory in terms of race. I was speaking in race-neutral political terms about how Democrats in many urban cities have failed their voters of all color and kind. Thus, I charge that Democrats seek unchecked immigration to replace the people who have relied on them most to their detriment. That is the heart and soul of great replacement theory, and yes, it is racist as fuck. But then again, this is a guy who pays money to underage girls for sex. Matt Gaetz actually tweeted that Tucker Carlson is correct about replacement theory as he explains what is happening to America. The Anti-Defamation League is a racist organization. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. The ADL combats anti-Jewish hatred. Oh, well. There won't be any consequences for Matt Gaetz. No, of course not. Ron in Raleigh says, how come it is that these white mass shooters can walk away from these incidents unscathed when an unarmed black man face down on the pavement can be shot in the back of the head? This murderous clown had a gun in his hand when he was confronted and yet walked away. Did they get him a cheeseburger? I'd say most of us on this side of the equation are asking the same question, Ron. Did they go to Burger King? Or I don't know, maybe we've upgraded. Maybe they spent some real money and went to Five Guys. Steve in New York says, the term you're looking for is nothing. Frankly, it's a tragedy. It's more than awful. There aren't enough awful ways to describe it. But you know what? It does zero good to even care or be concerned or ask questions about what's it going to take or what are we going to do. It's the very definition of futility. Perhaps I'm a cold-hearted SOB, but I don't even worry or concern myself about what we can do. Any anger, frustration, or motivation to do anything is wasted. It probably makes me the ultimate cynic. If Sandy Hook didn't do it, nothing will. If Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School didn't do it, nothing will. If the Pulse nightclub shooting didn't do it, nothing will. If the movie theater in Aurora, Colorado didn't do it, nothing will. If everyone thinks I'm awful, Steve says, so be it. I'm not going to put any more energy into working to do something about it. I care about the people, but I'm not interested in engaging in some Sisyphean task to try and do anything about it. Well, the problem is, Steve, you can't do anything about it. Neither can I. I mean, we can tweet about it. We can talk about it. We can make the delicate little gun-humping snowflakes uncomfortable about it. You know, the people that think that a pasty-faced, doughy white dude's access to a firearm is more important than an 86-year-old black woman's fondest hope to maybe someday die in her sleep. The people who can do something about it are the people who won't do anything about it. And by that, I mean every Republican in the United States Senate plus Joe Manchin. Yeah. Subject line manual, Suman, says,
Sorry I have to ask, is there a manual somewhere about how to make oneself small and hide? I don't think we have a choice but to teach our kids how to do this. The other day, our daughter was telling us that they had a drill in school on how to evade a trespasser, lock down, hide behind benches, etc. I wonder how long we have to live like this. Forever. Forever, Suman, I'm sorry. But forever. Because this is Marka. Our guns are more important than life itself. And I think about this. I've seen this sign so many times. And it's so true. At protests for women's reproductive health and rights, a poster. If my uterus shot bullets, the Supreme Court wouldn't touch it. Maybe it's time to start referring to vulvas as AV, I don't know, pick a number. AV-16s. American vagina. American vulva, 16. That ain't funny. Not even a little bit. But no, there'll be no consequences for Matt Gaetz. And I'm sure everybody has by now read about his manifesto. Peyton Gendron. And of course, he live streamed it. He shot four people, Peyton Gendron did, outside the store. Three of them died. He, of course, had body armor because he did get shot by a retired cop, Aaron Salter. And he got killed. And of course, there's a certain amount of truth. They'll claim mental health because Gendron had been under what was called medical supervision because of something he wrote in high school. He spent the previous day reconning. There was a manifesto. Anti-immigrant, racist, anti-Semitic. Full of the great replacement theory. Where could he possibly have learned that? He was inspired, if that's the word, or perhaps weaponized is a better word, by the racist monster who slaughtered 51 people at two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand. He wrote a racist slur on his weapon. But remember, the gun store guy said there were no red flags. And
In his manifesto, he said, zip code 14208 in Buffalo has the highest black percentage that is close enough to where I live. I don't know how to process any of this. If you would like to try, you are welcome to. You can call the program. Both lines are open. Federal agents have served search warrants, and they're interviewing kids' parents, the murderer's parents, the monster's parents. The thing that he wrote at his high school was actually a threat to shoot it up. He was sent for a mental health evaluation and had mental health treatment. And yeah, it was an AR-15 because that's the weapon of choice for young white supremacist monsters. Monsters who are weaponized by a steady stream of pure poison. I saw a tweet earlier today, and it did a good job of tying things together, drawing those lines that we have such a hard time drawing. A woman I really respect, Natalie Wynn, who has a profoundly sharp intellect, said, if you can't convince people that the white supremacist who traveled to a high black population zip code to kill with a gun, he wrote, here's your reparations, and then the N-word on, was racist, well, they can't be convinced because they don't believe racism is a legitimate concept. They'll say he was just crazy. See, he went to a psychiatrist once, or he was a communist when he was 10. Maybe it's CNN's fault. I once argued with a Nazi on YouTube who said Hitler wasn't anti-Semitic. He had Jewish friends. It's international Jewry he hated, not the Jews. But getting right down to it, she says, it's not your job to convince these people. They can't be convinced. You can't communicate with someone if you don't share basic premises like racism exists. Or if they pretend to believe it's conceptually impossible that white replacement theory could motivate violence. Unfortunately, it's an increasing percentage of the Republican Party that thinks like this. It's the reason they want to ban CRT. They don't want citizens educated enough to even understand racism as a concept or to know any historical context for race in this country. And that's why I asked the question I asked a few minutes ago. When we talk about this murder, these murders, this attack in real time, now, is that critical race theory too? Is critical race theory anything that some dainty, delicate, fragile, white-wing maggot Republican just doesn't want to hear? Is that what it is? I don't know. But I know this much. Back when old Balls and Strikes Roberts wrote that racism no longer exists in America and used that as his rationale for striking down a significant portion of the Voting Rights Act. Yeah, the blood of Buffalo is on his hands too. anyone who has ever said there is no racism in this country, anyone who has ever protested critical race theory, has the blood of Buffalo on their hands. And they need to be reminded of it day in and day out. Anytime a MAGA or a Republican or whatever says critical race theory, they need to be told right then and there that they were accessories before the fact to a massacre. Somehow or another, it reminds me of Alex in Clockwork Orange with his eyeballs sort of forced open and having to watch the violence over and over and over again until it finally gets all the way down. Yeah. Is that what this is? Have we gotten to that point where Clockwork Orange is no longer a science fiction movie book about the future that's actually coming true in real time before our very eyes? Think about it. Just last Friday, we were joking and kidding and carrying on the front porch about Office Space and Idiocracy. And how, when you first watch, especially Idiocracy, you know, oh, this is in the future. No, this isn't about the future. This is about right now. Here's your reparations. And see, by the way, it doesn't obfuscate or it doesn't erase the fact that you can be mentally ill and a white supremacist at the same time. It wasn't the mental illness that made him pull the trigger. It was the white supremacy. And it is sick-making. But I mentioned Natalie Wynn drawing bright lines. She said, so maddening to have watched white nationalism spread from Stormfront to 4chan to YouTube to Steve Bannon to Tucker Carlson to the manifestos of multiple mass murderers and not taken seriously because they're not wearing white robes. But a better camouflaged KKK is all it is. And she really has seen it happen in real time. She took us as her mission back in the days before she transitioned. She would take her big, sharp brain and actually talk to these horrible people in the hopes of pulling them away from the brink. She's been written up saying that, yeah, she's the Nazi whisperer. She actually got people to go away from their hateful ideologies and embrace the light. One woman can't do it all. But yeah, Stormfront to 4chan to YouTube to Steve Bannon to Tucker Carlson. And I don't know how, well, there's only 100 or whatever, 280 characters in a tweet, so I guess maybe she didn't have room for Trump. Not her fault. No. I think
just giving up and saying, it's going to happen, that's not a viable strategy either.
No. I think we continue to write. We continue to demand. We have to make this shit uncomfortable for the people who make sure it happens.
Yeah, I realize they're feeling terribly delicate, these Supreme Court justices, about having people outside their homes protesting.
maybe they should have been protesting more. Yeah. Randy Radar asking, what was the shooter's rank? I mean, obviously the guy was a member of a well-regulated militia. Yeah, don't even. It's not worth the grief you give yourself thinking about that stuff. Because we have been conditioned now to think that these are insoluble problems. I'm guilty of it. What did I say a little bit ago? I don't know how to talk about these things anymore because nothing's going to happen. Which means, I guess, I've given up. Have you given up? But this is, you know, all of this is part of a larger milieu after what happened in Buffalo, the massacre. A family in Niagara County, a black family. Well, they had a fence around their yard. And the fence is white. And somebody came along with a can of black spray paint and painted in all caps, "Kill all," and yes, that word. It's the home of a guy who used to be the Niagara Wheatfield High School football coach. And imagine, just, you know, try to imagine what it feels like to see that. But I think I don't think it's un-American. I don't think it's unpatriotic to ask, why does Fox News still exist? They are a primary conduit for the dissemination of this racist, bloody garbage. And I don't think the First Amendment would just up and die. If there was no more Fox News. Well, there's kind of a little bit of a glimmer of decency out of all of this. Home Depot heard about the assault, for it was an assault. A hate crime. Home Depot heard about it and replaced every bit of the fence for free. The question is, how long until whoever did it does it again? You know, for a long time, I've used an analogy of windows and bricks. And it goes like this. Somebody comes along and throws a brick through your window. So, you know, you have the window replaced. The next night they come along and they throw another brick through your window and you have the window replaced and it's window, brick, window, brick, window, brick, window, brick. Because it's the problem is not replacing the window, the problem is eliminating the brick thrower. And I don't know how we do that. At least, I mean, Peyton Gadron pointed his own rifle at his neck, and the cops stood there and talked him into surrendering. Why? He could have taken the rifle. He was body armored. He could have just taken the rifle down and shot at the cops and started shooting more people. Why did he live? I don't think it's wrong to ask that question. And well, if you can help me with some answers, I'd appreciate it. Ron in Raleigh says, here's what's troubling. When and if they send this little punk-ass shitheel to prison, he'll hook up with a white power prison gang like the Aryan Brotherhood, and he'll be welcomed with open arms as a hero. If he gets out, he'll be even more toxic. Yeah. He's facing a potential life without parole. And he'll, you know, Ron in Raleigh's absolutely correct. He will be welcomed with open arms by a white supremacist gang who is in a state of constant warfare with the opposite gangs, because apparently that's, you know, that's the sort of way that cultures have evolved inside prisons. And so he will seek he'll seek their protection. And then he will be come for. And so he will take his bloody-handedness from the outside world to the inside world. And somebody in prison will probably die. And then there will be retaliations for that, and retaliations for that, and retaliations for that. And it really is a kind of a domino theory, isn't it? Arthur. Lib Talker suggests elimination of innocent brick throwers. Do you remember the story that we had last week about the guy who lost his shit on an airplane and threw a glass of ice at a flight attendant while using homophobic epithets? You remember that? And he said, as a defense, that he was homophobic, and, you know, I guess, I couldn't help it. And I said, oh my God, we're gonna start using homophobia and racism as an affirmative defense, and the goddamn Supreme Court will say, well, those are closely held views, so okay. Flavio. Fun fact about the Great Replacement, per University of Michigan's Juan Cole, the phrase and the most extensive elaboration of the theory originated with the French Nazi René Binet, 1913 to 1957, who served during World War II in the Waffen Grenadier Brigade of the SS Charlemagne, which consisted of French collaborators. You don't get more fascist than that. The Charlemagne Brigade were the last troops to defend Hitler's bunker before his suicide and staged a failed, desperate fight against the Soviet Army's advance into Berlin. Binet fulminated after the war against the invasion of Europe by Negroes and Mongols, by which he meant Americans and Soviets. He saw Americans as an impure mestizo race. He was a biological racist. He also launched diatribes against unbridled capitalism and the ways in which Jews were using it, the Jews, to abet the replacement of civilized white Europeans. So this supposedly far-right American nationalist idea actually originated in hatred for Americans and a denigration of their supposed whiteness by the European right, which didn't see Russians as white either. And somewhere around 2012, and you can sort of cast about and figure out why that date would be the date so it began being promulgated in the cesspits and sewers of the right wing online. Things that they had to, you know, in previous decades, they'd had to huff Ditto fluid to run off on the Ditto machine and quietly, you know, post on message boards and the like. Well, it became so much easier with the internet. I think about, was it Microsoft that introduced the AI some years back? And it took less than 24 hours for the AI, what was it, on Twitter, to become a complete Nazi? Do I remember that right? And so the Niagara County, New York family, and then this, got this from our buddy Kevin in Massachusetts earlier today. From Massachusetts, hundreds of tires slashed at Springfield Van Transportation Company. Hundreds of tires were discovered slashed Monday morning at an Indian Orchard business that provides transportation for children and families in need. The incident impacted dozens of vehicles, and now the community is stepping up to help. When Janice Brown and her staff at Youth on the Move arrived to work Monday morning, they found 45 vehicles with slashed tires in the parking lot. She told Western Mass News, in over two decades of work, she's never seen anything like it. Well, I hope the little right-wingers will not be terribly upset when I point out, hope they won't say, critical race theory, when I point out that this was a black-owned business, as Kevin told me. As Kevin said, please let there have been cameras. There's 45 vehicles? It takes a while to slash the tires on 45 vehicles. And, you know, as we do go about the business of discussing this, it's okay if we want, if you want to talk about, because I have. You want to talk about what this just does to your spirit. Because even if you're 1,000, 2,000 miles from Buffalo, if you're a decent human being, you can put your soul in a place that, well, you can do that whole there, but for the grace of God goes John Smith thing. Flavio asking, this was on my mind this morning as I was listening to Morning Joe. When will Carlson and Murdoch pay a price for their poisonous propaganda? The killer was just a fanboy. Yeah. And when you're 18 years old, further question, Flavio. When you're 18 years old, what do you think the chances are that he was actually motivated by Tucker Carlson? I mean, now the New York Times did an analysis of Tucker Carlson and the Great Replacement Theory. And if I recall correctly, they counted, before they stopped counting, they counted something on the order of 461, it seems like the number was, references to the Great Replacement Theory. And that may actually not be 461 discrete references. that may be 461 shows in which the Great Replacement Theory got a mention. Is testicle toasting Tucky taking the night off? Or is he going to get out there and say, oh, you're just playing? Is he going to get out there and pogo stick up onto the cross? I don't know. But, you know, Fox is... probably, you know, they're probably cringing almost as much as the National Ruble Association, you know, if anybody's watching. Talking to Democracy Now. Nikki McCann Ramirez, the Associate Research Director at Media Matters for America, talking about Tucker Carlson in particular, said what it does, Great Replacement Theory, is create a dynamic where believers view immigrants and non-white people as an existential threat, not only to themselves physically, but to their position in society. You know, this... makes me think I need to get my old buddy Dave Nywert on the blower again, because he remains one of the preeminent scholars of right-wing hate and of the organizations that promulgate it. For instance, I asked a moment ago, do you really think that Peyton Gadron got his information from Tucker Carlson? I mean, Tucker Carlson's the kind of person that you can just hate on sight. Yeah, he was loathsome at CNN and Crossfire, and he only got worse at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And, you know, every now and then, because it's so long ago, the Rwandan genocide... people ask me, you know, why do I refer to him as Fox News TV Radio Rwanda? Because Radio Rwanda actively participated in egging the Rwandan genocide on. It was bad, but Radio Rwanda made it worse. And the same applies here. We have a problem in this country. Fox just, well, Fox is the metastatic agent. But when we're talking about an 18-year-old, and sorry, by way of analogy, I can tell you that I see effects like this in other communities. I'm guessing 4chan. 4chan is another one of those sewers where ideas take hold, especially among young and impressionable, mostly young folks. I see trans kids asking questions in other forums, and the language they use tells me that they've picked up these toxic ideas about their own nature from 4chan, because there is something hateful for everybody at 4chan. And there's no way to make it go away.
'Cause free speech.
We don't have a lock on what it means to have free speech. Other countries have free speech. But, you know, they don't necessarily have 4chan.
4chan has channels for people, well, incels, where they talk about how they're just going to be miserable and alone all their lives because they aren't. They were just dealt out in the genetic lottery, and they don't have the right bone structure to find a person to partner with for their life. And they use imagery from the Matrix. They talk about taking the red pill, and there are groups that teach trans kids how to hate themselves and how they will never be happy. And there are places for all we know, it may, first thing I thought when I saw the story is, betcha he's an incel and a racist. Because, see, you can be multiple things at the same time. You can have multiple toxicities. He started out wanting to shoot up his high school, which sounds like a very incel thing to do. I'm just speculating. But once the poison gets in you, it has a way of attracting other poisons. What do you think's going on in that kid's head right now? And Flavio, you're right. It's not just Tucker Carlson. The kid didn't exist in a vacuum. There are many people in the mainstream who subscribe to racist ideas. I would say fully a third, a plurality of this country. It wasn't just Fox Radio Mew Queen. No. But it is. But the Foxes and the Onans, the network that spills its news upon the ground, and the news mucks, and yes, Natalie Wynn referenced Steve Bannon. They're all metastatic agents. And some things do stay in my mind, like the conversation back before. There's a certain irony here. Who here remembers Milo Yiannopoulos? Literally a self-hating gay man who claims that he has ungayed himself now. But the fact of the matter was, people protested his appearances on college campuses, and they were met with, well, we got to have free. If Milo Yiannopoulos can't stand up there and hate on people, we ain't got no free speech in America. But the fact of the matter is, Milo Yiannopoulos, in the month or so before, I think it was a month or so before the 2016 election, that one would hope actually taught us who the hell we really are, not the prettied up version we like to think of ourselves as. Milo Yiannopoulos and racist Bannon. Come here, bandit. Johnny, come here. Never mind. Milo Yiannopoulos and Steve Bannon agreed that the base of the Republican Party now is this sort of white supremacist. And yeah, I think Flavio is not far off the mark. A third of this country may be, to one degree or another, just this little monster waiting to happen. If there's a silver lining, that means maybe two-thirds aren't. Yeah, Flavio says the kid wasn't a lone wolf. God, I hate that term. It's dumb as dirt. Dumb or not. Dumber than a handbag full of hair. Yep. Every time I see that term, I think about the time that Gilligan ran away on the island. I'm a lone wolf. Arr! Somebody made him. And the point I'm trying to make about 4chan is it is actually, it's an internet self-harm site. And it encourages people to despise themselves first and then to move on to despising others. And now we're in Forney, Texas. A guy's kid, real kid, went to their neighbor's house. And I know this sounds weird. But the boy cracked a whip against the neighbor's door. Because the boy is not can't get along with the neighbor's daughter. And it will come as no surprise that the boy is white and the little girl is black. And as the little girl's father said, we know the history of the whip. This is a racial issue. He comes to the door with a whip. So then the little girl's daddy went to the white boy's house where the white boy's daddy answered the door with a gun in hand. Daddy's little girl had followed Daddy and was standing behind him. And that's when, and God, we all know I love these news stories, that's when the gun just went off. Brian Brunson's gun just went off. And it fired in the general direction of the little girl. She was not hit. And eventually the cops showed up. And they arrested Brian Brunson on a charge in Texas known as deadly conduct. I don't know. Maybe because in Texas, the gun humpers would have a sad if there was a crime called reckless discharge of a firearm. Now, I've got the news story here from WFAA. Let's hear how they reported it.
It started off as a knock at Carissa Nash's front door in Forney.
And I look at my doorbell camera on my phone first before going to the door, and I see it's a little kid.
That little kid is her 9-year-old neighbor with the whip in hand. The Kaufman County Precinct 2 constable says the boy may have been trying to confront the Nash family's 9-year-old daughter. Then after the second whip,
little boy, you better get your from off my porch beating on my door like this. I will call the police. You need to leave.
It happened on Thursday afternoon off of Crosscut Drive in Forney when Dad, Desiera Nash, got home.
I'm coming to have a conversation with you, sir. Your son, I'll show you the video.
Okay, so you beat on your door.
Okay, now we have a huge...
Can you come look at our car?
Seconds later...
Can you please stop, sir?
Authorities say neighbor Ryan Brunson had a gun in his right hand. Officers say the gun went off, firing in the direction of Brian's daughter standing direct.
Well, that's what I wanted to find out. I wanted to see if WFAA reported as well that the gun just went off. Wonder what kind of gun it was that just goes off. I mean, that's... That is such monumentally irresponsible reporting. The gun did not just go off. I mean, ask any firearm manufacturer. Oh, no, they consider the guy who sold the gun to Peyton Gadron. The only way I ever sell these guns is if they've got all their proper the safety features engaged. They're designed with these safety features. And I wouldn't sell them any other way. So I don't care if it's Sturm Ruger or Smith & Wesson or Beretta or Browning, Colt. None of those manufacturers are going to say, yeah, you know what? Sometimes the gun just goes off. I mean, that's the price of freedom. I think about the literal rocket scientist in Idaho a few years back who went to Wally World the day after Christmas and tucked her brand new Freedom Protector in her purse, and her toddler got into her purse and blew mommy away. The gun did not just go off. Or the genius woman in the Republican woman in Michigan some years back, who had just gotten a fancy newfangled gun-toting bra and was going to holster her Freedom Protector in the holster at the side of the bra cup and shot herself through the heart. The gun just went off. Then there were the two ladies who went for coffee, and one of the ladies' gun fell out of her purse and went off and shot her gal pal, I think, in the leg when the gun struck the floor. Gun just went off. Yeah, I hate it. I hate him. As to how young Peyton Gadron became the monster Peyton Gadron, Flavio says, somebody made him, bingo. Everybody who laughed with him, everybody who nodded in agreement, everybody who did not confront and challenge him the minute he started spouting these ideas. Where were his teachers? I'll wager some of his teachers are polite racists. How about the pastor at his church? If he's Catholic, we still have the Father Coughlin wing of the Catholic Church here, daily inveighing against Pope Francis himself. Somebody made him. Thank you, says Flavio. No, thank you. Arthur says, gun just went off. I had a smaller, similar language issue today. In a news video about the stock market, they were talking about the interest rates and how earlier rates, which were near 0%, forced investors into riskier investments. Or something similar. Forced, sure. And the gun just went off. Because sometimes guns just do that. And
one of the more, if it's possible to even use comparative language in this, one of the more horrifying aspects of what we've learned in the aftermath of Buffalo, and isn't it interesting, now we just say Buffalo, and it means 10 people slaughtered in a grocery store. Now, you remember when in this case it was a cranky older white guy, didn't he go off in a Kroger's in a suburb of Louisville a couple of years ago? Kathleen Ballou, writing at The Atlantic, who has written a book called Bring the War Home, The White Power Movement in Paramilitary America, wrote at The Atlantic, all of this violence represents only half of the urgent threat we must now confront. The other half of white nationalism is in our halls of governance and on our televisions, claiming ignorance of its most violent outgrowths. Think, for instance, of the attack on the Capitol of January 6, 2021. Well now, why don't we? Although white power and militant right activists represented a small group of the participants, they were the most organized, the ones with tactical gear and advanced planning. They were the ones with intergroup communication and battle readiness. Despite increased surveillance and deplatforming in the immediate aftermath, researchers have documented a regrouping, upticks in web traffic in white power spaces, local organizing, and online radicalization. We may yet find that the alleged shooter in Buffalo, only 18, who wrote that he became radicalized in January 2022, was propelled by that latest wave in this cresting sea. Continuing, she said, all of this is much too important to ignore as a disconnected string of events or to set aside as simply inexplicable acts of hate and prejudice. The alleged shooter in Buffalo is said to have written that boredom, isolation, and internet radicalization, ding, 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 internet radicalization led him to his act. When we imagine how many others like him are in front of their screens, alone but together, we might summon an appropriate level of concern to move us to action. Every person should demand accountability from our elected officials for these events. Whether January 6th or yesterday's mass shooting, the death toll is still mounting and the threat to our democracy grows. Yeah. Start with 4chan. Because it is, in fact, an internet self-harm site. And self-harm often leads to harm against others. Darlene in Connecticut says, all the more reason to regulate them. If guns just go off, bad gun, bad gun. Of course, if it was a black man with a gun that just went off, would it be described the same way? Never. Hell no. They'd name him and end with, fired his gun at the unsuspecting so-and-so. And then there'd be another paragraph where, fortunately, police arrived on the scene and eliminated the threat by eliminating the black man with the gun that just went off. Oh, wait, it didn't just go off. Can we please just make the gun just went off just go away? Lady B writes, enjoy supermarket sweeps? How about that plus a game of bullet dodgeball? Well, call it bullet dodging supermarket sweeps. Contestants will race their carts at top speed, fill them with the most expensive food items on the grocery floor. The winner will get to keep the groceries and then head back out on the floor to find specially marked items. If they manage to grab them all, they could win up to $100,000. But here's the sell. They'll have to do it all while dodging bullets. That's right. Contestants will dodge bullets fired by a random psychopath. It's a terrifying but exciting combination of competing for big bucks and their lives. Of course, those who don't win can console themselves with the fact that they survived another goddamn day ending in a Y in America. Flags and T-shirts will be handed out at the start of the show to all contestants. This particular part of branding will remind us all that our exceptional status in the world is unparalleled. We are the only goddamn country where this frequently happens. Let's take advantage of this and show others how it's done. Bullet-dodging supermarket sweeps. It'll be ratings gold. Eventually, we'll have celebrities to compete as well. Politicians who are against any form of gun control are encouraged to participate. We'll recruit their sons from 4chan and reassure them that their parents really do hate them. Lady B, you know I love you, but I kind of hate that you wrote that. Because I just feel a sick certainty in the pit of my stomach that somewhere somebody's pitching something similar and talking about, oh, the advertising revenue will be through the roof. Jeremy in Vermont says, I read a post from a friend yesterday about her daughter taking her prom pictures. She was out in the family's front yard dressed up in a pantsuit. She looked great, and one of their creepy Christian neighbors stopped on the front sidewalk looking at the child and started praying for her and her date. Oh, why can't we mind our own goddamn business? Boy, I tell you what, though, if you want a little uplift in the middle of all this misery, over on my Twitter feed, I posted a happy story today. I mean, well, what I said on Twitter was, okay, who made off with the box of tissues? Because I'm about to drown in a sea of happy tears. Welcome home, dear children. Welcome home. And it's from AL.com. Inside the first year of the Alabama school where LGBTQ students are celebrated. And there's a little video that goes with it of all of these kids going to their first prom, the first prom where they haven't been bullied, tormented, picked on, attacked, made to feel like human garbage. And there are smiles all over the place and just happy children going to prom. Republican politicians are, however, in Alabama losing their shit over this school. Because we can't have no happy LGBTQ kids. Hey, LGBTQ kids ain't supposed to be happy. God damn it. But they insist on being happy just the same. And it's called the Magic City Acceptance Academy. It's in Homewood, Alabama. And, of course, Fob James's son. What's that asshole? No, his name's not James James. Even Fob James wouldn't be that cruel. Major, catch 22. Oh, they had a drag show. At the transgender high school. Running ads against it, political ads against it. Because freedom. And there's absolutely no requirement that a political ad be anything even resemblant of the truth. God, I hope they have good protection at that school. They're going to graduate their first class of 11 seniors this month. Kids who had terrible experiences in other schools. But oddly enough, once they got to not be bullied and tormented every day, every minute of their lives, guess what happened? They blossomed academically. They became like completely different children. Busted. Brother Deacon Asa says, your underhanded attempt at humor is not lost on a brother deacon. The incels don't have the proper bone structure to find a partner. I see what you did there. Okay. You got me. But they do. They go on and on and on about brow ridges and the circumference of wrists. And they talk about Chads and Stacys. And, you know, once you go down the incel rabbit hole, it's hard to get back. And then there's it's not off ramps, there's just more on ramps onto bigger hate freeways. By the way, the book, Bring the War Home, Flavio says, I read it. Had to wait in line to read it from the local public library. I recommend it. Solid scholarship. Thank you, Flavio. I probably need to read it. But do you ever just want to run and hide? No, I don't mean like make myself small. Well, that's going to be hard to do. But, you know, I cherish those little moments where I can just not be completely subsumed in misery. I had a note from our pal Rico earlier, and it did my heart good to hear from Rico. I was worried. I worry when I don't hear from people. Rico said, had some family visits. And that sort of took Rico away, kept him busy for a while, and said, I'm so proud of you for putting your true self out there and running for office in a tough environment. It took a lot of intestinal fortitude, my friend. So I was listening to you and Sparky talking on Friday on the front porch about the dating scene, and it reminded me of this great bit by Joe DeVito on a wonderful YouTube channel called Dry Bar Comedy. It's a comedy club in Provo, Utah that doesn't serve alcohol and asks the comedians to be clean. The comics are mostly unknown, but I've discovered so many gems. This one by DeVito is about dating over 40. Oh, fun! And is one of the laugh-out-loud funniest routines I've ever seen. I can't wait to hear this. Love you much, my pretty, Rico says. Rico in the lovely, quiescent Berg. Rico, I can't tell you how happy it made me to hear from you. Because girl worries. And I have a feeling... is it okay if I just step back and... And just lighten up for a second? I feel like it's not. I feel like people of conscience, you know, real conscience. No, I'm not talking about the pharmacist who won't fill a birth control prescription. I don't go to conscience for that little zygote. You little zygote. Yep. No, I'm talking about real people of conscience who deeply morally object and grieve over the slaughter of 10 innocents by a white supremacist. But I'll tell you anyway, because I know there's a certain segment of this community that has begun to enjoy my adventures in the wonderful world of the dating scene. Oh, the horror, the horror. But, well, I did it. And there will be people who will hear what I'm about to say. And go, oh, no, she didn't. She did. I set up a Grindr account. Now, there's no shame involved. I have absolutely none. And I was pretty straight. Well, probably the wrong word to use on Grindr. I was pretty forth. No. I was pretty candid. You know, I identified myself as a post-op trans woman. I said I am exploring everything now. You know, there's a setting on there that says, no NSFW photos, please.
That is a rule of the road that is not observed very well, apparently very well. And, oh my. I got a message calling me mommy. Oh dear, this could get weird in a hurry. But I don't know. I'll share some. I'll keep you posted. Because this is going to be an adventure. It's amazing how frank people can, be about the things that they want to do. I mean, it goes from high to, oh, well, look at you. I guess you're proud. And as Forrest Gump said, at least I ain't led no humdrum life. Which actually kind of dovetails or segues into another story this evening. And this is what, Jeremy? Why? Jeremy asks. What on earth ever made you think that Grindr could ever be an NSFW site at all? It's Grindr, for Christ's sakes! No. I guess I just wasn't prepared for just how NSFW it really, really, really is. Oh. Just want to be somebody's girlfriend. There, I said it. I'm sorry. But at least I'm... Earther, okay, Earther. Grindr? I just met her. Oh, my. Yeah, and the other joke that came from. And you know what? I may be an older tran who's out there trying to date at my age. But at least I'm not Nick Fuentes. We were talking about incels earlier. And we've talked about a lot of strange things. Things that are strange to us all that just kind of... You remember who Nick Fuentes is, right? I mean, not a bad-looking guy. He kind of looks a little bit like, I don't know, a Brady. Maybe Peter? Looks a little like Peter Brady. And he's a white so-called nationalist. He's a white supremacist. He's a fucking Nazi! And if I thought I was having dating problems. God. What's the line? What's the line from the Blues Brothers, Darlene? We ran that clip a couple of weeks ago. God, I hate Nazis. But there you go, and here we are. Nick Fuentes is the guy who ran the alternate little conference to CPAC because CPAC isn't Nazi enough for Nazis like Nick. And perjury trailer queen, Q-Ball, went over and palled around with Nazis and couldn't understand when people said, hey, you're palling, you know, when even the Republicans go, hey, you're palling around with Nazis. Quit saying the loud part, this quiet part out loud, for God's sakes. Ixnay on the Nazi nay. Well, Nick Fuentes, is having some problems with his love life, and the problem is it's non-existent. Reminds me of a clip I saw a while back from some other white supremacist asshole. Only this one had a Scots accent, and it said, listen. Wait, that's all. I can't. Is that Liverpudlian? Or is it verging on Irish? I don't know. But he said, if you're masturbating, you're touching a penis. And that makes you gay. Okie doke. That was a while back, but here's Nick. And you can kind of laugh, but, you know, not really. Because this all comes as an attempt to explain how things like Buffalo happen. And he can't find a girl who wants to be with him, even though he looks like Peter Brady trying to grow a mustache. Pork chops and applesauce. So, you know, take it away. Get the hockey puck. Do that, please, would you? Get the hockey puck. I don't want to be responsible for anything. Oh, and by the way, we've long since crossed the halfway mark of the program, and we have raised precisely zero of the $1,150 that we need to raise to try to keep this program on the air through what turned out to be a brutal April and an even harder May. And harder not in a good way. It would be great if we could take a little bite out of that. But no, take it away, Nick Fuentes, and we'll all just sit here behind our hockey pucks. Wait, where's the damned audio? Ah, there it is. Two minutes and 20 seconds of absolute, oh my God.
What, people calling me gay because I've never had a girlfriend? I think if anything, it makes me less gay. If anything, it makes me not gay. As opposed to less gay, not that there's any gay, but it makes me not gay. Well, because think about it this way. You know, a gay person, gay people...
Yeah, if he wasn't a Nazi, I might be able to muster up some degree of sympathy, and we're not even into the clip yet. But you can tell the tormented pseudo-metal lizard brain gymnastics he's engaging in here, because he is what we refer to in the sexuality and gender spectrum. You know, we say LGBTQQIA+. Well, that's lesbian, bisexual, or lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, queer questioning, intersexual, asexual, because the sexualities just keep kind of coming along. Oh, thank you, Randy Radars. No, it's I hate Illinois Nazis. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Thank you. But here's Nick Fuentes, who somehow has never had a girlfriend, and is, well, I think he's questioning, because I don't think you can do this without questioning. I mean, as for me, I'm just kind of settled into the idea that until I figure out a little bit more, I'm just going to call myself pansexual. Because I don't know. I don't know where the path I'm on is going to lead. I'm super freaking pan. But you know, because he's a Nazi, Nick Fuentes can't go there, and so he's worried about people thinking he's, oh no, gay. And it really does make for some magically twisted Nazi radio.
What, people calling me gay because I've never had a girlfriend? I think if anything, it makes me less gay. If anything, it makes me not gay. As opposed to less gay, not...
Because when the yelling starts... You know, suit, tie. Damn it, the tie is not even pink. Now quit that. And the argument that he's having with himself. Jesus, it's like Smeagol and Gollum. Only they're both Nazis. Yeah, this is the punchline to the, does your wife, does she go? Aye. And you go all the way through that entire sketch. And Eric Idle finally says, what's it like? You ever had sex, you know, with a woman? Nodge, nodge, wink, wink. Nods as good as wink to a blonde man. Say no more. Does she go? What's it like? And this little humorous interlude actually has a serious undercurrent, because we will probably find out at some point that Peyton Gadron couldn't get laid. And Nick Fuentes, the Nazi here, cannot live in his own mind with the possibility that he might be, you know, gay. And so the gymnastics.
Any gay, but it makes me not gay. Well, because think about it this way. You know, a gay person, gay people do date girls all the time. Real. And when I said on Elijah Schaefer's show, and they said, have you ever been in a romantic relationship? Have you ever had sex with a girl? And I said, no. If you name searched me on Twitter, as I always do, all these gay people are coming out and saying, I've had more girlfriends than Nick. I've had sex with more girls than Nick. So like I said last week, not only is that thinking flawed, but actually it's the...
It's flawed? The thinking is flawed? Did you notice the part where he checks his mentions all the time on social media? It's a little pathetic, isn't it? And down in the corner is the spinning square, AF. And it stands for America First. I guess.
Makes me really more heterosexual than anybody. If we're really being honest, never having a girlfriend, never having sex with a woman, really makes you more heterosexual. Because honestly, dating women is gay. Having sex with women is gay. And having sex with men is gay. And you know,
it's... Everything is gay! It's all just gay. You're surrounded by gay, Nick, you Nazi. You know who else was gay? Ernst Röhm. Mm-hmm. The Sturmabteilung. Brown shirts. Okay.
Okay. And if you want to know the truth, the only really straight heterosexual position is to be an asexual incel. That's it.
Incels are the only not gay people. Well, how about that? All these years, thinking I was just so straight. Having sex with my former wife. Oh, well! Having kids and... Does this mean all marriages are gay marriages? If you're Nick the Nazi here? I mean, couldn't... And I don't want to get in trouble for any... But perjury trailer queen, help your boy out. I mean, girl, this is kind of embarrassing. Marge, you need to take his sweet girlish laughter, okay?
So that's all there is. Being a MGTOW, a sexual incel, is really the straightest position that you can have.
No, that's the lights out missionary position, Nick. I mean, isn't it? Well, then again, he's an incel.
Having sex in itself is gay, I think. I think that it's really a gay act to begin with.
Is it just me, or does it sound like his voice has never changed? I mean, I have to work hard because, you know, this voice, to pitch it up and everything, and I work really hard at it. And I'm having some success, but not near enough. But I don't know. I'm thinking, if not questioning, maybe he's the I in LGBTQQQIA+. Anything? Bueller? I mean, I'm more confused now than I was at the start of this clip.
Think about it this way. What's gayer than being like, I need cuddles, I need kisses, oh, I need the...
Can somebody tell the little Nazi that that's just a matter of being human? Human contact? The need for warmth and interaction, intimacy? No? Well, I mean, we wouldn't want the Nazi to be happy, would... Wait, if he got... Do you think if somebody would take one for the team and just lay this little dude, that the Nazi stuff might just go away? Is that what he's afraid of? Is this like Samson getting a haircut or something? I sincerely don't know. The only problem being that these are the kind of people that, oh, I don't know, go out and mass murder women. Shoot up grocery stores and movie theaters. Because, of course, they engage in internet self-harm places.
It's all very sus to me, you know. I need to spend time with a woman. That's a little sus. It's a little bit sus. So I think really, I'm like, you know, the straightest guy.
Yeah, he's the... Him. With a voice higher than a castrato contratenor. He's the straightest guy. And I hope we all had a nice giggle. You know, the incel murders have been going on since 2014. Elliot Rodger, Alec Manassian. Elliot Rodger murdered 6 in Isla Vista, California. Alec Manassian allegedly murdered 10 people in Toronto. And in his murders, Alec Manassian praised Elliot Rodger. And the New York Times, in an article, described the incels, saying, the alt-right, right-wing populism, men's rights groups, and a renewed white supremacist movement have capitalized on many white men's feelings of loss in recent years. Poor white men. The groups vary in how they diagnose society's ills and whom they blame, but they provide a sense of meaning and place for their followers. And as different extremist groups connect online, they draw on one another's membership bases, tactics, and worldviews, allowing membership in one group to become a gateway to other extremist ideologies as well. For instance, since we talked last week about the conviction of Josh Duggar, I got to thinking, and, you know, the New York Times has their own style manual, and it addresses questions like how does one make... What is the first reference to a person? And they use that, you know, they're very polite and they use their misters and their misses and their misses and their ma'ams and their sirs. And I think going forward, the first reference to Josh Duggar should forever be former Family Research Council staffer and convicted pedophile, Josh Duggar. But there it is, you know, and it's true. They draw on one another's membership bases. And there is no better example, for instance, than the aforementioned Family Research Council, who got its first email list from where? That's right, from the Grand Dragon of the Klan. Oh, what was his name? The dude down in Louisiana. Yeah, the Family Research Council, which holds itself out to the public as a Christian family values organization, got their first email list from the fucking Klan. What does that tell you about the membership of the Family Research Council? Literally born of the Klan. And our buddy Scary Jerry writes in, shots fired, safe for life. They mangled the metaphor. America's streets aren't lined with gold. They're lined with spent, moldering lead, crumbled yellow police tape, and the cries, screams, and deep belly wails of crushed lives and waterfalls of tears. Americans' greatest GDP and main export is violence.
It's in the Constitution!
As an immigrant who became a citizen in Bronx, New York, I was told by chums in the streets, I could probably buy a gun at maybe 12, but I could get a knife till then. I had my first school shooter awareness for a neo-Nazi in Westchester County at the age of 9. The newsperson said he had an automatic weapon. I had the first gun in my face at 10. That was 45 years ago. Every now and then, Americans, especially the pink and bright red ones, shoot up the place. I was told the red in the flag was blood. Glad nobody shot up Disney World this weekend, my grandbaby's fourth birthday. It's terrifying that this isn't a 0% possibility. Also, they shot up a Broward County bus 4 weeks ago. You didn't even hear about it in the bullshit whirlpool we seem to be in. The hero bus driver drove right into the police station. Only 2 died and 5 injured. Only. And there's the photograph of Scary Jerry's beautiful little 4-year-old grandbaby. Oh, what a... Oh. There is mischief in those eyes. She's magic, Jerry. You are a very lucky grandpa. And may you continue to so be. Thank you for that. The bullshit whirlpool we seem to be in. We use the cowbell for funny things a lot, but sometimes for just a really nice turn of phrase. The bullshit, yes, bullshit whirlpool. goddamn bullshit under tow. All apologies, John in North Dakota, soon to be in Minnesota, says, isn't there a line from the song by Nirvana where Kurt Cobain sang, everyone is gay? Nick the Incelerator didn't invent this concept. Oh, no, like I said, there was the Scotsman who said, if you're masturbating, you're touching a penis and that's gay. God, they're so scared. Imagine that horrifying hellscape that they live in, where they can't even trust themselves. And, of course, they have to find somebody to blame it on. We know who Nazis like to blame. But it's an expanding group, basically. You know, when you're a Nazi, it gets down to the point where it's everybody but you. My reference to Ernst Röhm earlier. They were the bully boys who propelled Hitler basically to power. And then Hitler had to bump them off because, well, they became a problem. And then problem after problem after problem after problem. But I said, I mentioned that I like to, you know, do a little escapism. And I tell you what, I started watching The Offer over the weekend. What a fantastic series. Because the making of The Godfather is every bit as compelling a story as The Godfather itself. And I didn't realize it, but, you know, imagine the guy who produced The Godfather was the guy who basically created Hogan's Heroes. You know, the funny comedy about Nazis. Bumbling Nazis. How is it we keep coming back to Nazis? Randy Radar asking, what's under the kilt? Absolutely nothing. Yeah, what's this? There's actually a song about it, but it's the Scotsman gets drunk and has some sort of an assignation, and somebody ties a blue ribbon on his willy, and when he wakes up, sobers up, and looks under his kilt and says, well, laddie, I don't know where you've been, but I see you weren't first prize. I'll stop now. God, I'm sorry. So, here we are with a 2-hour Phil Robster so far. This is Conversation Radio, and I don't relish the thought of just sitting here and blabbing away. We figure more things out when we talk to each other. I've noticed that email responses, for instance, go up when we're engaging in conversation here. Because I say something, somebody else says something back, and the next thing you know, somebody's out there at their keyboard going, hey, wait, y'all missed it. Or let's expand on that. So if you'd like to jump in, please feel free. The Skype line's open. And now it isn't. And how cool is that? And how awesome it is to hear from our buddy Will, formerly of Chicago, now of Southern California. How are you, Will?
Hey, let me put the chat on silent so I don't have two voices. How are you doing today?
I'm good. It's not infernal in the studio, so that's a net plus. And it got kind of pretty later in the day. And yesterday was just beautiful. And it's weird to have a pretty day and be thinking about a horror at the same time. You know what I mean?
It is, but sadly, I've gotten to the point where I'm no longer shocked, but surprised, meaning surprised it happened this day. Well, first, before I go into the darkness, let me update you. So I will be giving a contribution, although the job is ending in June. Essentially, cuts and but I already have an interview next week. And finally, after 6 months of fighting, LA Unified. Oops, sorry. My boss, my district solved my pay issue. It only took 6 months of waiting for them to go through paperwork.
How delightful that must have been.
Oh, yes, yes. Suffice it to say, I'm confident I'll find something better here, at least well-managed, where I'm not getting rocks and tennis balls thrown at me. And we actually have leadership that is competent at the site. But I'm feeling good. Also, you need help today. So I have not called since before Pesach. So sit down, and I think you and members of your community can take comfort. So I went with a friend of many years. She and I sat at a table, and there was a family there, a dad, a mom, a little girl, and another young person. I thought initially was an older sister, but it was their son who is identifying as a girl, couldn't tell the difference, you know, kids that young. But everyone at the table had no problem with it. This kid was accepted at a Seder. So let us remember that despite the haters, despite the fanatics, there are places where people can find love and acceptance unconditionally. And this is something we have to keep in mind amidst the darkness of our time, that there, despite all the evil, there's still love in this world. There's still hope. And although at times I measure out my hopes not in months or years, but in decades or perhaps even centuries, I believe with Dr. King that the long arc of history bends towards justice. So take comfort in that.
Indeed. I thought, it is a long arc, though, Will.
Look, if I had a lifespan that could equal achieving those things, I would probably rival the antediluvians. Methuselah, oh, yeah. Yeah, 900 years. Try being stuck on Earth for 5,000 years while we work this out. Hopefully it won't take that long. But look, did I say I was surprised but no longer shocked? Because we have people being fed a steady diet of hate. And this is what happened in Buffalo. We are not sure what happened with the church shooting in Laguna Woods, although that seems to be a case where someone targeted a Taiwanese Christian community.
I was looking into that earlier today, Will, and it seems to be a matter of internecine violence between Chinese versus Taiwanese, and oh God,
and still ugly. Fortunately, doctor sacrificed his life to save others. And unfortunately, no region of the world, nor people, nor faith, nor culture is immune to the lure of hate, because all it takes for some people to fall into that trap is a simple explanation, a too simple explanation, and having an enemy to hate. It is the nature of authoritarianism to require two enemies, an external threat and an internal threat. In the case of the shooter in Buffalo, he saw an internal threat. He saw Jews and others replacing him, African Americans, Hispanics. Replacement theory nonsense has been spouted for decades on the right, but is now, of course, spouted on places like Fox News and by members of the houses of Congress. This I find troubling. We now have things that would have, that even George W. Bush during the 92 campaign would not have said openly, now being spoken of openly.
Right.
I do not know whether I should be grateful that this is all out in the open, that they have torn aside their mask of gentility, or if we are now in a new stage. It's, that's kind of requires more evaluation of the past than I thought I can manage. After all, viewing many political operatives such as Lee Atwater as opportunists who could not sell their soul simply because they gave it away long ago, all for some coins and power. So we have to first speak up. We need to mobilize. We cannot view everything as hopeless. I realize the Democrats are disappointing in large part because the majority is not an effective majority, especially with two recalcitrant senators and a filibuster rule that doesn't even require people to state their views on an issue, but merely threaten it. And yet, let us take wisdom from the words of Hillel the sage. If I'm not for myself, who will be? If I am only for myself, what am I? If not now, when? We have to remember, it's going to be up to us to make any change in this country. Even though we may feel isolated and alone, statistically speaking, there are more of us than them. What happens on our side is we get complacent, we get fed up, we have our own purity tests. And I realize a lot of the choices are not our first, second, third, or even fourth choices. On the other hand, if my fifth choice is an improvement over a raging nutcase like Marjorie Taylor Greene,
who, by the way, is having a sad right now. I don't know if you're aware of this, Will, but Perjury Trailer Queen is having a big sad right now because she says she's it's completely unfair.
Wait, you mean that the Piggly Wiggly Wrigley isn't selling your favorite ammunition?
But no, she says it's completely unfair because people think she's nuts.
Well, let's see. What was that about Jewish space lasers, or was that Bobich? Trying to recall.
She's Jewish space lasers.
Yeah, I believe so. And I'm sorry, if you act like a fool, talk like a fool, and your deeds seem to show that you are supporting foolishness, I can logically conclude you are either a fool or at least has such spectacular judgment you should be lumped in with them. And I think what we have to realize is it's up to us to take a stand. I realize we often hear the trope, do not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. But against what we are seeing rising, I will take the mediocre over some of the other choices that are out there. I mean, we have a Congress that 10 years ago, you could not imagine some of these characters actually being in office. I mean, Madison Cawthorn is in embarrassing his own party and is a hypocrite with his personal life. He also did spill the beans on cocaine-filled orgies, so if that's going on, I'm sure he offended a lot of people. But
coke-fueled sex orgies, yeah.
Yes, would anyone be surprised? Because, so help me, it seems that too many people are addicted to power, that the only way they can hold themselves up is to hold others down. And, of course, drugs and sex can come around when people have too much money, as Richard Pryor stated. So I think that what we have to do is realize, even if we do not all share the same issues, even if, let's say, our focus is environmentalism, education, LGBT rights, economic justice, racial justice, guess what? The people who are at least fighting for some form of justice, we can at least have a conversation with. I can't imagine finding much common ground with Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lawrence Boebert, short of a War of the Worlds scenario. And even then, why do I think some of them would be trying to sell us out to the invaders?
Well, I mean, the fact there's you're always going to have someone who is willing to do that.
Exactly. And I think we have to realize we have to get out and vote. I expect Roe v. Wade is effectively at an end. What we have to do is make sure that McConnell does not have a majority in the Senate, and McCarthy or whoever in the House doesn't have a majority there. And then we have reproductive rights, the right to marry, contraceptive rights brought to an end. Because if they do that, trust me, they will not have only sown into the wind. They will have sown into the wind by a hurricane, because they only represent maybe 38-40% of the voting public. And let's say, as ugly as it is now, I fear that they would unleash so many of the lone wolves with their actions, it's not even going to be funny. And as for what we must do, I think we have to commit ourselves to nonviolent protests, simply because they long to paint their opponents as violent, despite the fact that
they long to paint their opponents in their opponent's own blood.
Yes. Well, look at this. We had Trump ask about shooting protesters in the knees. And yet, we have objections to trying the people who stormed in the House, attacked, and in some cases killed police officers or gravely wounded them, and were prepared to commit murder to stop a certification of election after Rudy Giuliani and company were laughed out of so many courtrooms that the horn had $100 for each courtroom he was laughed out of. You would be able to take care of fundraising. I will do a little something.
I think that's a safe assessment, yes.
The budget will be getting tighter. So let me do my standard infomercial for the horn and for any other good causes of progressive caucus. In the end, it's up to us. We have not had millionaires nor billionaires to fund many good causes or programs. Even those who are on terrestrial radio have to hustle to make a living and endorse products. It's their choice. I'm not going to criticize them, because that's unfortunately in the nature of our airwaves. But Robin needs help. So do a lot of others. And there's places in your community that need help, whether it's a food kitchen, a political candidate who could use your time, or going into Planned Parenthood or some other organization and volunteering. It's going to be up to us to get us out of this mess. We have to rely on our own strength, our own integrity, our own wisdom. And I have faith, ultimately, that we will. Will there be dark days ahead? Yes, I expect it. But if we are to fight back against the darkness, we must always remember that change is always possible, that hope is possible. It begins with each of us.
Be the change you want to see in the world, right, Will?
If not us, who?
Yeah.
I do not call... I am from a tradition that rejects a certain historical figure as a messiah. And historically, we've dealt with several false messiahs. Well, I tend to have the attitude of the old Talmudic tale where a man is planting a carob tree and his neighbor rushes up to him and says, "The Messiah has come. We must go see him immediately." And the man calmly continues planting the tree, waters it, and makes sure it is fine so that it will grow. And then he says, "Let's see this Messiah of yours." Meaning, as good as someone might be, we still have to do the work. Even if a remarkable person with the oratory skills of Dr. King and the political savvy of Lyndon Johnson and able
that would
to,
be a potent combination.
Quite literally, you would wonder if he had been sent from somewhere, because that would be beyond belief. But rather than waiting for this remarkable person, we must plant the fields. We must do the labor, and even if it's just our individual voices raised together, they can drown out an ocean of hate. But the question is, will we be willing? So we can either give up, maybe sit in the dark, listen to Leonard Cohen at night, although I do enjoy his music, or we can take a stand. Will there be pain? Will there be suffering? Will there be loss? We are mortals. There will always be such things. And there will be disappointments. And yet, I cannot see how we can go into the future together, save by walking hand in hand together, right, raising our voices, saying, "We shall overcome," as so many did, dear Lord, nearly six decades ago. And all dreams might not be realized. Some of us will not reach the promised land. And yet, if we can assure that others will do so, perhaps that's all we can do. I think we have to have the humility to realize this has been a long game for the forces of authoritarianism, the forces of the right who want to restrict the rights of others, except, of course, when it comes to economics. Yeah, simply because we have courtiers to the modern-day lords who haven't figured out how to be lords themselves and could probably not run a business, period. But if we remember that after Goldwater's defeat, they started getting people into school boards, city councils.
Right. They had their own version of never again, Will.
Exactly. And we have to realize we need to do these things. And too often we don't. And if we don't raise our voices, other voices will be raised. And too often those are the voices of extremism.
Well, it's interesting that you would bring up the issue of getting school boards and so forth. Because I have a clip here, Will, that speaks exactly to that. In the aftermath of the slaughter in Buffalo, it's not a great look to celebrate. But then again, you know, these maggots, these fascists, these right wingers, white nationalists, white supremacists, Klansmen, Nazis, etc. Shame is not their strong suit, and so
they have a conscience.
Well, there we
that
go.
Is required.
Yeah, and in this case, what I have here, because I referenced him earlier, racist Bannon, you know, Steve, the guy who looks like rancid hot dog water smells.
I was going to say, did many of these Republicans came from the same replicant vats or something? Because so many of them look bad.
At least today, it appears he celebrated by shaving or something, or maybe having his bi-monthly bath. But I want you to hear what he has to say, because not only is he not particularly sad about Buffalo, he's bragging about great replacement theory, which, oh my God. Check this out.
Territory. Of course, all the morning shows are all over Tucker Carlson and a few others about the replacement theory. They seem to miss the point. And here's what we're not going to back off on. This is, and for people who follow this show from day one, we are inclusive nationalism, right? We have said from day one and support it from day one and work every day from day one. It's Hispanic Americans in the Rio Grande Valley in South Texas that are leaving the Democratic Party in droves.
Really? I'm not so sure about that, but white Texans would like for the Hispanic Americans just to leave the Rio Grande Valley, Texas, or how about the United States? There's no doubt about that. But
can we be honest? They'd prefer them to leave the planet.
Yes. And what the hell is inclusive nationalism? Is that a nationalism that reserves, I don't know, special places for people who aren't white to live?
To kind of how Mussolini viewed things in the 30s, where if you were Eritrean or a Greek and you waved the Italian fascist flag, Mussolini had no problem with you. As long as you let the Italians run everything, and particularly the Italian fascists, they would have no problem with you. So maybe that is where his inclusive nationalism came from. Or Franco.
Yeah. Well, it probably, you know, he follows those kind of folks. So let's let him feed out a little more rope here, shall we?
It is African Americans in droves that understand the lies and misrepresentations of the Democratic Party. We are inclusive nationalism and participatory populism, okay? And we're winning. This is about the sovereignty of the United States, and this is about the citizens of the United States.
Ukrainians.
Okay, so this is not about race. This is about American citizenship. This is about the value of your citizens. The Biden administration and the radical left, as seen by Morning Mika and Morning Joe and that whole crowd at the New York Times and the whole crowd at MSNBC,
crowd,
are about ceding the sovereignty of this nation, whether it's to the WHO, of which we're going to fight today. We're going to have Michelle Bachmann and Frank Gaffney about the webinar this afternoon, whether it's ceding to the WHO or whether it's allowing an invasion on the southern border. And no, we are not backing off one inch, because inclusive nationalism and participatory populism is what's changing this country. And that's what they're freaking out about. And this is why we're going to win 80 to 100 seats in the House of Representatives. This is why we're going to flip the United States Senate. This is why we're going to take over every school board in the nation. This is why we're going to take over every electoral board, elections board in the nation. This is why we're going to take over every medical board in this nation. This is why we're going to take over state legislatures and DAs and attorney generals and secretaries of state and governors. And we're not going to stop. We are.
Isn't that just exactly what you just said a little bit ago, Will?
Yes, and they've been working on it for decades, but I would like to take issue. Morning Joe and Mika being the radical left.
Yeah, that was a bit of a giggle for me, too.
Any host who was on the Air America radio network, may it rest in peace, as mangled as it was, would have been far to the left of Morning Joe and Mika. Bernie Sanders, by the standards of Europe, is kind of practically maybe a center-left.
He's a centrist.
He's a centrist, or you could argue, depending on the country, center-left. Robin Ducek on something as something. I just sent something out for a donation. Not sure how much longer I'll do it with the job ending, but today I'm celebrating the fact that we can take a stand. So, I mean, they have played the long game, and too often we get upset. Yes, as annoyed as I was with Rahm Emanuel's comments in 2010, we did not need to see the Republicans go in. And look, it's not about disappointment. The GOP suffered numerous setbacks, but always had the idea, keep on moving the ball forward, to use a sports analogy. And that's how we have to view it. Sometimes you just have to put your personal feelings aside and vote for the least worst option. Or if you choose, if you wish not to, great, but here's the thing. Third parties don't work. So the other day you were talking about them, and I remembered having a history professor in college who said you could easily write a book called Kicking My Own Ass, The History of Third Parties in America, because usually what they do is they undermine the existing party they're closest to and give the opposite party a win. See, the Bull Moose Party, 1912, and how it weakened the Republicans, allowing Woodrow Wilson in. And I'm seeing from the chat a lot of this is about money. And yes, these are very well-financed people. Again, getting back to the situation, Robin and the Horn and Mike Malloy, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman at all face. If all of a sudden someone funded progressive talk, 10% of what right-wing talk is funding on, first, I think I need to revive you, Mike Malloy, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, and a bunch of other hosts with smelling salts, because they would have wondered, who is this? Where did this money come from? And wake up, and just have them wake up and tell them, no, it's not a dream. That person is real. Get yourselves ready for a few stations. But guess what? We're not there. So it's up to us to not only fund good causes like the Horn, food kitchens, women's organizations, LGBTQ centers, those religious institutions you feel are aligned and do things like help with food kitchens and other good work. One of my rabbis was a member of on the board of the Chicago area ACLU, even though sometimes I have problems with them. But still, it's up to us, because I see no other alternative. I do not see Elon Musk getting brain surgery and changing his tune 180 degrees. I do not see Superman arriving in a rocket ship to save us.
The odds are long against. And by the way, let me let you know, Will, your help landed. And so did some help from Mary Bell. Thank you, Mary Bell. Mary Bell said, a little less misery for Robin, and I love the horn.
Amen. So let us think. We're going to have to rely on our own backbones, our own resourcefulness, our own courage, and get out there, because I don't see any alternative. I mean, Hartman has used the phrase that there's a parade and a leader usually shows up, joins the parade, and ends up walking in front of it. Great, and let's at least have the parade, so just in case someone truly amazing steps up from who knows where, that person knows they might get me, but the movement I'm part of will continue after me.
Precisely.
And maybe together we can make a difference. And look, it's never been easy. There have always been those who can only be happy by oppressing others, by selling out others just so they can get a few crumbs. But enough of Mitch McConnell, would probably sell his soul for more money, except I think his soul already was traded long ago, probably for the first few campaign donations. So if we don't rely on ourselves to face what we're up against politically and culturally, I don't know what else we have. Because we have the numbers, we just have to have the courage to act and be out there and realize it's seldom going to be easy. But has change ever been easy?
Never.
I can't recall.
No.
Never. Whether it's personal change or cultural change or change in a tradition.
It's the whole dichotomy that humans have been pestering themselves over since we came down out of the trees. How can we even know what pleasure is without pain? It reminds me of the Twilight Zone episode where the gangster dies, and he finds himself in a casino. I'm sure you've seen this one.
Yeah.
And everything is opulent and splendid around him. He is surrounded by the most beautiful and willing of women. Every time he rolls the dice, he wins. Every slot machine pays off. The roulette wheel always stops on his number. He wants for nothing, and he goes all the way through. And I don't think you can actually spoiler a Twilight Zone episode unless
you can't. Not after about four decades.
You're right, exactly. Decades. And so, eventually he looks at his host and says, "Well, I've had enough of this. I don't want to be in heaven anymore." And, of course, the snapper, as Mark Twain called it there, the guy looks at him and says, "Who said this was heaven?"
Yes. Yes, I... And...
And, by the way, if anybody heard the noises, our little tortie, Lucy per morning, Paul, decided to come and visit me here in the studio. Annette's teenager sitting, and Lucy doesn't quite understand. She is a tortie of very small brain. She's adorable, and I can tell now, because I was afraid there wasn't going to be a happy ending. About 2 weeks ago, she got curious, as kitties will, and Ferg had left the kitchen door, the kitchen window open to let out a little bit of smoke from. He loves to do pan grilled charred Brussels sprouts, and oh my God, they're so good, Will. He had forgotten the window was open, and she got curious and went out the window, and we called for her, and we worried ourselves sick, and I was afraid she was just gone. And then a couple of nights ago, it was raining, and I pulled in the driveway, and I saw this little flash of orange and red and brown just shoot across the in my headlights, and I thought, oh my God, maybe that's her. And I called for her, but nothing. And then it was raining again a couple of nights ago, and I heard a cat crying, and I went outside and sat in front of our outbuildings, and just meowed back at her. I do that. I'm weird.
Oh yeah.
And I meowed, and she meowed, but she wasn't coming out. And then Annette walked out the door, and said, "Lucy, come here." And she came bounding up to Annette, literally jumped into her arms, and has not let us out of her sight since. Because I think she's convinced that we were the ones who were missing. She knew where she was.
Ah, that would explain it. Cats are very peculiar creatures, but they are loving. And
oh, she's sitting in my lap right now, and she is she's purring for all she's worth. And
of course, because she knows she is safe. Again, sorry about my phone.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine, Will. You're fine.
Background. But here's the thing. People need to feel safe and loved. And it's got to be up to us to make sure that, like I mentioned at the beginning, that child who is identifying as a different identity than the one that apparently was assigned to her at birth based on the external particularities, that child can grow up in a country where she feels safe and can be whoever she, or if later decides he or they. I'm still a little amused by the multiple pronouns, because I joke that they should only be used for symbionts of multiple personalities, which I kind
of... Yeah, don't go there. I used to be the same way until...
I want to just that, honestly, English...
Well, it's just that English is a messy language.
Oh, it is a train wreck of a language, and this is from someone who teaches English. I mean, if we had a decent gender-neutral pronoun, I'd be all for it. And it'd be useful if you were just referring to someone, but I mean, just that, I didn't mean to offend anyone, but...
Oh, no. I'm just saying that I was that way too until I did my reading. And I understood, and I understood then why, among non-binary folks, it's as odious to a non-binary person to be pigeonholed into a gendered pronoun as it is for me to be misgendered as a he or a him or a his.
Exactly.
Or a mister.
And that's something that I understand, although I'm a bit so often used by our language, it's a miracle that we can function with it. But suffice it to say, we need to make sure that every child feels up to pursuing one's identities and one's goals and one's dreams without having someone who decides, my way is the only way possible because I say so and the people who back me up say so. That's pretty much a choice. Either we fall in line to authoritarianism dictated by those who have power and influence and will hold on to them at all costs, or a society where we can have people choose their own paths. And I lack the wisdom to make choices for others. And I would prefer a society where we have options to be who we are, because too often historically, people have been denied those options based on any number of criteria, from faith to identity to nationality, all by those who, in the end, feel so low about themselves that they have to rely on power over others and control over others to feel good about themselves.
Right.
In some ways, they are to be pitied. But the first priority is to stop them. And for some, changing their hearts and minds might literally take a Superman or Wonder Woman or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong.
I mean, changing Steve Bannon turning from his path is about as likely as me walking through the wall next to me, which I understand, according to quantum mechanics, might happen once with someone somewhere in the universe with all the atoms lined up.
Right.
Up to us to take a stand, because rather than waiting on miracles, we must make the opportunities that we wish to see.
Exactly. Well, Will, I cannot thank you enough for jumping in on the conversation this evening. I hate it when I do a three-hour filler, Robster, because I feel like I'm monopolizing people might have other things to say.
I'm surprised you can do it, and I'm going to encourage listeners to do two things. One, if money's tight, just call in. Our ideas are better if we share them. We benefit from shared perspectives, even when we disagree, even when we don't understand, such as I did during our conversation about the pronouns, even though I still think English can be described as a mashugana of a language.
Mashugana by a mile.
Yes, and as a longtime Midwesterner, we have referred to our neighbor to the east as the state of Mashugana. but we also, so share your time. If you can hear, great. If you have resources, great. But get out of there and do something. In the end, it's up to us to be not only the change we want to be, but the people we ought to be.
Exactly.
Be well, be safe, be strong.
And you do the same, and I hope your interview goes well, and I wish you only the greatest success and happiness out there.
Thanks, and guys, there's still time for maybe one more call. Come on, let's stop the filibobster.
Sounds good.
And, yeah, all right.
Bye. Take care, Will. Bye now. That's our buddy Will, and formerly of Chicago, now in Southern California, and I bet Will did not miss the greater Chicagoland winter. If nothing else, we got one more story here. It's been a while since we've talked about Chip Roy of Dribbling Dick, Texas, or Chlamydia Creek, or wherever the hell that miserable POS is from. He, too, had a hot take on Great Replacement Theory. And, of course, you know, the first, never mind the bleeding dead of Buffalo, politics is what matters to a Republican. So what they have to do is make sure that they don't upset the delicate and dainty sensibilities of their snowflake, homicidal maniac base. And, so Chip Roy of, Gonorrhea Gulch, Texas, tweeted earlier today, "Hey, race-baiting leftists,
I'm much more opposed to liberal white replacements coming to Texas and perfectly happy to have brown people you all like to endanger for your political games legally come. Tell you what, how about you leave and we swap in 10 brown people?
Chip, I don't think you really get the whole nature of the problem. This is not a good look for you, honey. Read the room. I mean, he says he's not into great replacement theory and then turns around and says he wants to replace people. And it's kind of funny, really, because the governor of his benighted state, is that who we are now, by the way, the benighted states of America? The governor of his benighted states has been saying, hey, y'all come on now, leave California because there's too liberal there and they done rent California. Come here to Texas so you can freeze to death in the winter for gas company profits. So I don't know how that one's all going to get sorted out, but you can't fool me, Chip Roy of Chlamydia Creek. You're just trying to trick liberals to move to Texas. And while I'm sure my dear friend John Bridivo would love to have some company, there's already a whole bunch of native Texan progressives there. And every time Chip Roy of Syphilis Springs, Texas, even thinks about them, he gets a sad, and another spirochete forms in his in the thin gray settlings that slosh around betwixt his ears and pass for brains. Yeah. So that's it. I can't tell what's going on outside. That's either Ferg warming up the Sopwith camel, or else he is mowing. I'll find out when the program's over, but he did wait till the end of the program. It's still a little daylight out there. Miss Lucy is happily checking out, making sure the studio is safe for me. She's such a little doll. I'm so glad she's home. We were worried so sick about her. And, she absolutely... All she wants to do is sit next to either me or Annette. And she came in earlier because, you know, I took Annette down to teenager sit. And she came in earlier and said, Mama, would you go out and see if my other mama's under the building? She may be lost, and I'm worried about her. I mean, because she just walks around And she's adorable. And so, yeah, I'm officially around the bend. I'm cat lady talking about my cats like they're people. Because they are. Anyway, thank you, Mary Bell, and thank you, Will, for jumping in this evening. Thank you so much. Joey, I will get to the journal tomorrow, first thing. And I apologize for not getting to it this evening. But, well... The topic was, well, I think we'll do better with it tomorrow. Okay, let's go over to the stress line right before I knock off and check in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, sweetie. Oh, it's speaker. Hey, sweetie pie. You're Shorty in LA.
Hey, Shorty. How you doing, dear?
Hey to you, and congratulations to you for your spirit and your courage and everything.
Thank you.
Well, guess what? His name was Will, right? The last caller?
Yeah, that was Will, formerly of Chicago, now of Southern California.
He and I have a lot in common because my former hometown is Chicago, and I'm in the same
That's
state.
Right. Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah. So I just want to say I love you and everything that I'll put you this way. I didn't get a chance to call you for at least a month because I did not want to mess up the election. And I just got home and I tried to call on the train. But, so next time, maybe tomorrow, we'll discuss it. But it has to do with They messed up my phone. I have a new phone. It has to do with the Nazis, and it has to do with the highest person, the highest civilian job in America. And I think the place is 1600 Black Lives Matter or something like that. So yeah, and everybody get out there and do something, because it's going to get really, 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 really weird and real. So get out there, call people.
Yeah, and remember what Hunter Thompson said, Shorty. When the going gets weird, what? The weird turn pro.
And guess what? What did Malcolm say? Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling the truth. So if you're gonna be mad at anything, just be mad at the truth. So, but I want to say happy today to everybody, and I love you guys. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. I know I made it home late.
All right, you take care, Shorty. Good to hear from you, dear.
Okay. All right.
Bye. That was nice. Shorty always brings such good energy. So thank you, everybody. A new week beginneth. So we knocked down fundraising by $75. So that took us from $11.50 down to $10.75. And that means we'll be $13.75 tomorrow. And hopefully we will somehow manage to finish May, even though we're only at the halfway point. This is literally a little over halfway to the end of May. And cross fingers. Well, thank you, Jude. That's very sweet. Jude said great voices to hear today, Will and Shorty. I think so, too. I'm glad you did as well. Thank you to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors this evening. That's Will and Mary Bell. Thank you. And thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you may choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way. Uh, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first round of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And now a union shop. Yeah, by the way, there was a really nasty coal filth spill into the Big Coal River. It's called the Big Coal River, but it's not supposed to have any coal in it. Just another oopsie from those well-intended but playful boys, the coal barons. And curiously, there are no coal barons there to experience it, because they don't live here. They just destroy here. Please stay safe. Get your boosters. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. We are still hovering officially somewhere not quite at a million dead. I have a feeling it's a lot more than that, though, when you get right down to it and you think about places that have suppressed data like Florida and Texas and west by Colt Manchinistan. Yeah, probably a lot more than a million. Maintain your social distance. Wear your mask. Don't be ashamed. Might save your life. And, if a guy who looks like what rancid hot dog water smells like comes burbling towards you, grunting about how we are ascendant, avoid that maggot like the plague. Because he is. Later.